it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Last night. Okay. Midday show.
This is when I realized that DeVoe could sing or could contribute this to the group other than
maybe a dance move here or there. All right, good. You know, everybody's got to play their role. You know?
I agree, man.
Everybody's got to play
you know,
their
role. He got the same percentage as all of them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope it was split.
It's called New Edition.
Yeah.
It wasn't New Edition led by Ralph Trasvant.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope everybody got an equal cut. We'll get to the back page with Bo coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. Back into the big story of the day at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. A little bit more audio from Raheem Morris as he met with the media. And again, keep getting ready for the game coming up on Sunday. Brandon Adams is going to join us at 1:20. Always look forward to that conversation, but especially after a big win like that for Georgia, and he can put it into various historical context and stuff like that. So we'll get BA's thoughts on that. We'll get to a college football corner in a minute.
Dude, one more NFL thing, because last night, I guess Tom Brady was in the coaching booth of the Raiders.
Okay.
But he's part owner.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now, because this whole thing, you remember he couldn't go to the production meetings and all those everything.
Right.
And the thing that's coming out is that the production meeting part of his role or whatever, because if the Raiders play a team that he's, you know, calling their game for, they play him later, he could have some insight.
For instance,
yes,
he's calling the Bears game
yes.
this weekend,
yes.
and then the Raiders play the Bears
yes.
that next weekend.
Right. And so you're like, oh, well, he might have a leg up on some inside info. As a player, as a former player who was in plenty of those meetings and talked to the play-by-play guys, one guy I used to always talk about, that's why he's one of my favorites, Baldy. I used to talk to Baldy all the time. Winky, there was nothing to give. They asked you about last week's game. They asked you about this week's game. Maybe a funny story. And that was it.
Yeah.
You sit in a production meeting for 5 to 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's not something where he's like, so what are you guys thinking about running this week?
Even if they ask that.
Yeah, no, you don't
you
say
obviously
that. Yeah.
Wouldn't tell them.
Or there's an injury. I saw so-and-so got banged up last game. Like, there's just certain things that are not kind of can be used against you. Now, if the Bears are like, you can't come in here, that's they're every right to do so.
Right.
But I just don't think it's as big a deal as
it certainly is not.
I just don't know.
It's interesting because, to me,
but it's Tom Brady.
It's him.
Yep.
It's the history,
yes.
obviously, from
yes.
where it came from.
Yes.
It's just also one of those things that people can kind of sink their teeth into and try to be mad about on a given day.
Yeah.
That's why when you said people are mad about Tom Brady, I was like, about what? Because there's seven things people could be mad about this week as it relates to Tom Brady. And I just think this is a really good example. And obviously your perspective from being in the locker room as a player talking to broadcasters, we'll have Mark Schlereth and Dave Archer on the show tomorrow
yes.
who do those broadcast meetings yes. from a player perspective and then now as a broadcaster perspective. We'll ask them too. Like, I mean, I think people really overestimate what goes on in those conversations
yes. Yes.
from an information perspective.
Yeah,
and honestly, like the broadcasters are going, obviously, like the analysts already understand what they're looking at. They're looking at film to get ready for
yes.
the game. The play-by-play guy is just trying to get an anecdote,
that's
man.
It.
I want to hear, oh, this guy on the other team and you were teammates in high school
right.
and you did a talent show together.
Right.
Or, oh, this guy, oh, you know, this it's my mom's birthday on Sunday and she's turning this, you know what I mean? Like
yes.
they're trying to add a little
yes.
detail and color to the broadcast.
But they think because it's Tom Brady and he looks you dead in your eyes, you're going to give him something because it's Tom Brady and you respect for him.
I was a little surprised the NFL relaxed its policy on him in the meetings and all that with how like over paranoid everybody is about that kind of stuff.
Right. Right.
But I really do think people really overestimate
yes.
what you're getting in those meetings.
Yeah. It's not, it's nothing serious.
Nobody's telling you like, oh, we're going to run this trick play in
yes.
the third quarter.
Watch out for that first play.
Yeah,
he told me about this last night in the production meeting.
Well, and I guess like, sometimes every once in a while you'll hear like Kirk Herbstreit would be like, yeah, they told me they were thinking about using this. you're just not going to tell him.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're worried that Tom Brady's going to use it to the Raiders' advantage down the road, then you're going to give him less information. Yeah, like, that's what you're going to do.
It's pretty damn weird.
Yeah,
it's pretty damn weird.
It's just one of those things.
I will say this, because I think I've heard this before. Randy, you can probably be more specific if I'm wrong here. Don't sometimes teams have to inform the officials or referees of a certain trick play?
Yes.
So it doesn't get called because of formation, like this or that. I don't know how.
It's not necessary. It's all about the formation. And if it's like a tackle eligible here or off the ball, but like the play itself, no, you don't have to be like, we're going to run a double reverse pass here or nothing like that. But you do give them a heads up about
to look for the formation
because it's mainly for the formation.
I don't. Right. If I were a referee, I wouldn't be able to like hold in my anticipation to see it.
What are they going to do?
I'd know it's coming because of the formation.
When's that tackle going to report as eligible?
Yeah.
When are we going to? Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only time they do it.
But you don't have to tell Tom Brady that.
You don't have to tell Tom Brady that.
You know? No. That's the thing.
You don't.
You can tell him whatever you want. Yeah, you don't have to tell him
it's
anything.
It's pretty weird, man. Because it's Tom Brady, though.
It's one of those things. Yeah. All right, let's get to a college football corner. All right, so we'll try to get to some leftover reaction from Saturday, but do want to get you some of this new audio. Obviously, Brent Key was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday after that huge win for Georgia Tech on Saturday. If you missed the interview, check it out on the website, 929thegame.com, Dukes and Bell page. Here he is talking about how he celebrates a win like that.
Press conference, ACC Network, went home and grabbed, you know, put some. I was starving. I went out in the backyard for about probably 45 minutes and, you know, did some work on my daughter's playhouse. And then called recruits, FaceTimed recruits, high school coaches, you know, had some football on, didn't really watch a complete game by any means. I mean, I was on our game, and then about probably 10 o'clock, 10:30, I sat down and pulled our game up and started watching it.
I heard the whole interview because I was dropping off. I was picking up Samson from school, and so it was on. And so, I mean, great interview, great job by the boys. But, I mean, he's not surprised that they won this game, meaning, you know, they went into the intentions of beating the hell out of Clemson. I saw a clip of him coming out the tunnel with his team. He did some kind of little jig, like, before the game. So, I mean, the confidence that he had. I love what he saw about Haynes King. Talking about more people are worried about Haynes King than he is, pretty much. But yeah, I mean, you know, big win. You still a daddy first.
Yeah, you still got to.
You still a dad. I like the follow up question. Like Carl was like, you mean tell me that's all you did? Like you ain't gonna get you no bourbon or no whiskey or nothing? Well, all right, there we go. That's
yeah,
there.
You might have a pour or two.
Yeah, a couple drinks.
You got to enjoy a little.
Gotta have you a couple drinks.
I do like that though. Look, man, I bought her a playhouse.
Don't forget.
You got to build it.
They don't forget. They don't give a damn.
He doesn't care that we beat Clemson.
You don't give a damn about that. Daddy, where is my playhouse?
Yeah,
and when
together.
Is it going to be done?
We found out that they tear down the goalpost and throw it into the swimming pool of the school president.
Oh, really?
So that's pretty cool because there's no river,
there's
right?
No
there's
river,
no body
right,
of water
right.
to throw stuff into.
Chattahoochee's polluted enough.
Oh, and it's far.
And like, it's far. That's what I was like. Where the hell are they going to dump this damn
walk?
I understand school spirit. That's a long ass damn walk.
Yeah, you'd give up at some point over there.
That may be like sitting on 285 somewhere.
Yeah, all right.
We're thinking that since this is a school full of engineers, they would have figured out a way to get it on the MARTA.
Oh, okay.
Possibly.
Or some sort of contraption to sort of wheel it over to the wall. Yeah, but no, they dump it in the swimming pool of the team president, which, all right. How are you going to get it out of there? All right, here's Kirby using a phrase that I was unfamiliar with. So at the very least, we learned a new phrase, but I think he's also talking about people not wanting to own their mistakes? Okay.
Well, I think we know who we are. You know, I mean, I don't mean this directed at Tennessee, but I told our players, I was like, there's a lot of whistling by the graveyard. You know, a lot of people don't know what that saying means, but there's a lot of whistling by the graveyard, and that ain't who we are. So I'm not saying, I don't think Tennessee is. They're physical and they're tough, but there's a lot of outside whistling by the graveyard. A little bit of acting like thing, but we feel like our team is a certain identity, and we're not going to go down without a fight. We're nowhere near where we need to be. We're a long way from being there. But, boy, we got some kids that aren't afraid to fight.
Okay. So, whistling by the graveyard, pretend to be calm and unafraid when actually feeling nervous or fearful. He's not saying that they were. I don't know who he's talking about. But that's all right. Anyway, they know who they are.
Yes.
And he's right. They do have a lot to clean up. It's nice to know coming out of a win, okay, this is what we got to do on defense.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we have to do here.
Right.
Obviously, there's some stuff on offense they want to work on too. But we learned a lot about Georgia on Saturday.
Yeah, I think the biggest – I mean, I didn't learn as far as, like, them coming back and winning the game. Like, that's what they do. They're going to make it close. You're not just going to blow. I can say that we just got physically our ass whooped was Ole Miss last year. Mm-hmm. They're going to find a way to get back in the game. If they just – the biggest thing with Tennessee in that offense, you had to get a stop. And Tennessee was clicking. You couldn't get a stop. When Georgia started getting stops, they were able to do some things on offense.
Any Kirby Smart team is going to be in the fight to the end.
Yes.
Like, they're in it for 60-plus because it was overtime.
Yes.
Like, they're not giving up. We've seen it time and time again with the comebacks that they've had and found ways to win. We learned a lot about Gunnar Stockton.
Yes, I think that's the biggest thing. We learned more about Gunnar. I learned more about these receivers and his ability and Bobo to his ability to let him throw the ball down the field. He had some nice throws. I know
really
the one to 16 was the one, but I mean, he had another one to him. Then, I mean, you saw Kobe getting involved. Obviously, Zachariah with the big play, but he had another nice catch.
When he let it rip over the middle on some third and fourth downs a couple times.
Let it go, man. So, I learned a lot about the fact is that, you know, he's a damn good player, man. Gunnar Stott's a damn good player. And, you know, we're just going to have to continue to do different things. But, like, defensively, I'm not worried about the defense. I'm not worried about it. Alabama's going to come in here. We've got another week to talk about him. They're coming out their best offensive performance.
Yeah.
Quarterback was outstanding.
Yep.
Outstanding. And then the receiver, don't let him get started.
Yeah. People know about Ryan Williams hopefully.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, pay attention to that guy.
Hell yeah, we do, man. Hey, guys, this Saturday from noon to 2, join Ally Mack at Suns Kia in McDonough as they get you ready for Sunday's big games. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, a 50-inch 4K smart TV of the Rolling Stand, and other prizes. Plus, winners take...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Have a chance to take home home tickets as to the upcoming game. Again, that's Saturday from noon to 2 at Suns Kia in McDonough with Ally Mack and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back and get to the back page with Bo after this. Thanks for being with us, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.